the lid's off the cookie jar.
Hi, I'm Christine Bruce, broadcasting on Wet'suwet'en territory through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. This week's episode is bittersweet. The sweet half is that I got to speak with the other craft brewery in Smithers, the Smithers Brewing Company, on their business model and specifically on how much community building they do with fundraisers for nonprofits. If you think I'm in breweries a lot this winter, well, it's a surprise to me too. The bitter half is that this is probably my last episode of the Cookie Jar, at least for a while. There are a couple more interviews I've tentatively booked, but they're slow to develop, which is regrettable because I need to take some time away. So, if this is our last visit reaching into the cookie jar together, let's have some fun. You may hear some odd noises behind us. Blaine and I are meeting at the brewery, and there's magic happening. The Smithers Brewing Company describes itself as a little timber-framed brewery in a kick-ass town in northern BC, making the best beer they possibly can. They offer 10 taps, of which 4 are mainstay beers and 4 are ever-rotating seasonal options, along with a cider and an in-house brewed kombucha. I don't drink a lot of beer, but I've been invited to 3 events in support of my beloved nonprofit organizations this fall, all hosted at the Smithers Brewing Company. Since opening in June of 2018, they've supported and donated to more than 20 local charities throughout Smithers and the Bulkley Valley. And while we'll talk about beer, the focus is community building, as always. Who knew we'd have so much beer in the cookie jar? Blaine, I normally welcome my guest to the cookie jar, but in this case, it's more appropriate to thank you for inviting me into the Smithers Brewing Company.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
And a lovely sunny day. It's just
a beautiful
perfect.
Sunny day.
We couldn't have asked for better. So give me some background on the Smithers Brewing Company. Who's behind this business? And what made them decide to bring a brewing company into the middle of nowhere? You know, like Smithers is a destination, but there's a lot of people around the world who, when I ask them for an interview, they say, Northern Canada, like what's there?
Well, I guess they're just missing out, right? I
mean, they are missing out.
We're living in a pretty beautiful place in a pretty beautiful corner of the world here. Right. Yeah, Smithers Brewing Company. So we opened in June of 2018. So we've been open for about 5.5 years now. The craft beer world, the craft beer industry kind of really took off around like the 2010 era, a little bit before that. We did have a brewery here. We were actually one of the first breweries in Northern British Columbia. It was Plan B Brewing back in 2008, I believe.
Oh.
And this was actually one of the very first towns that had a craft brewery. That was Glenn Ingram from CICK Mark Fisher. And yeah, so they had that place. So like Smithers was actually on the map for craft beer kind of long before any of the other communities. They were kind of a little bit ahead of the time. The licensing wasn't in the same way it was now. They weren't allowed to have a full tap room there. They could only have tasters, and they also had a very small brewing system, so they couldn't keep up with demand because people wanted craft beer. So this is a very sort of entrepreneurial, sort of grassroots community that likes that type of stuff. So
they did some trailblazing on your behalf.
Yeah, 100% they did. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, you know. Glenn and Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Which actually, that's where that Bitter Bob's Revival came through. So that Bitter Bob's Revival,
I was wondering, but it was called
ESB,
Revival.
Yeah, so Bitter Bob's ESB was their top-selling beer. So 5 years later, we worked with it, and Cam, our brewer, and Glenn brewed it together in the fall. And if you see it, like the whole package is all like a homage to Plan B Brewing, and that's their original recipe. We tweaked it a little bit, put through our system and stuff like that, and then a portion of the sales went back to CICK as well. So
it's kind of neat.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry, long story short. But anyway, getting back to like
good story though.
Yeah, totally. So getting back. So yeah, June 2018, we started the brewery. It's myself, Aiden Bennett, Cameron McKeegan, our head brewer, and Sasha Hillebrand that owns the Alphamore.
Okay.
This was Sasha's property. We were able to get a place right in downtown Smithers. We knew that we wanted to be right downtown here. There wasn't a lot of space down here. So, you know, we turned this empty parking lot into the brewery that we have now. So at the time, I think we were one of 5 purpose-built breweries in the province. that we got to build the place from the ground up. So we got to build exactly how we wanted it. And now we, obviously a year in, we would have changed it completely, but, but yeah, so that was the thing. It worked out really, really well. Like myself and Aiden both come from the beer business. We worked with Molson Coors, the big guys, the big guys we're against now sort of thing, but we worked with them for a number of years and sort of learned the ins and outs of the beer industry. I worked with Red Bull Energy Drink for about 7-8 years before that. So kind of always in that sort of packaged on-premise beverage industry sort of thing. So
now, did you ever have a stubby?
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
For years, we had those on our shelves because they were just so...
They were really, really neat, right? I just remember, they were like a tiny little bit, like before my time, but I remember my dad having the big long, long cases of 12.
My mother used to drink export every weekend, so we had lots of stubbies in the house, and then suddenly there's no stubbies anymore, and I gotta have one of those.
Coors has brought them back, actually. Coors has brought the stubbies back. But yeah. No, so, and at the time in 2018, we were actually quite late to the game. Terrace had Sherwood Mountain Brewing. Prince Rupert had Wheelhouse Brewing. There was already two breweries opened in Prince George the same year as us, Crossroads and Trench. So we were kind of one of the last communities in northern BC. And I think it was in the water because I think probably about 3 or 4 different people were trying to start breweries. So there's ourselves and Buckley Valley Brewery that opened within about 3 months of each other.
It was close, yeah.
Yeah, so we looked at that. I had lived kind of all over the place. I was in Vancouver, I was in Prince George, in the Kootenays, and we moved back, and within about a year we sort of said, hey, you know what, this town really needs a brewery, and we know the beer industry already, and we took our sort of like restaurant backgrounds and beer backgrounds and marketing backgrounds, and we all kind of combined those, and it kind of worked out really, really well. Cam was the assistant brewer at Wheelhouse Brewing in Prince Rupert. So, we started this and, we talked to a few different brewers, and he just had a really good outlook on beer and a really unique outlook on beer that we really wanted to bring in here. We didn't want to be, just another average brewery. We wanted to make really good stuff and really unique stuff and use local ingredients wherever we could and do a whole bunch of different stuff. And that was sort of what he was all about. And it's just all kind of worked out really well.
I sense a lot of depth when I speak to him.
Absolutely.
He really knows his product.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. He's a bit of a mad scientist.
I love that about my beer, that there's a mad scientist behind it.
100%.
I would buy it just because of that, that image that you planted in my head now.
Exactly. And I mean, we look at this place, between all of us, we've worked with people and we've had businesses like all over the place, and we didn't want to be good enough for Smithers or Northern British Columbia. Like, we wanted to basically be good enough that people would walk in here and say, hey, you know what? This brewery competes with any brewery that we see in the Lower Mainland, in Ontario, in Portland, in the U.S., like anywhere, right? And I feel like that we've done that, and we've tried to keep a really high standard with this, right? Like, I mean, this building alone, I mean, it was built by local contractors. All of this wood was milled in the Susquehanna Valley. Everything is kind of within 100 kilometers of us. Our brew house in the back was fabricated in Victoria. So, the majority of our stuff has all been BC-based because it was really important. We're a craft brewery. We want to support our local suppliers if it's here or within the region or British Columbia or Canada or however that is, rather than, looking at, Chinese manufactured stuff.
Yeah.
So
it feels like a celebration of Northern BC.
Absolutely.
Now, we were having a little conversation about the pipes, and I would love to share that with our audience. I was looking at a coat rack over here that was made of pipes.
Said,
oh no, this is the ambience. We're trying to keep up the pipes that were originally here.
Yeah, we just kind of wanted to have, we kind of want to keep sort of like an industrial, sort of simple, clean feel. All the piping, you see is all... It's just basically gas fitting piping. So
dull, but it's actually really cool.
Yeah, I mean, when our gas fitter was doing this stuff, we were able to use we were able to pull all the pipe we wanted, and we were able to use his big machine and cut it and thread it and basically fit all these pieces together. So yeah, everything you kind of see in here is kind of all built with that, and we were kind of running it. And yeah, there was a lot of like 20 plus hour days there when we were trying to open, and you know, there was a lot of, and again, right, like it was a lot of stuff like you could just like go online and buy, right? But we were just like, no, we're gonna do this. Our flight boards were
please tell me about this, because I he won't hear this from Ontario. I bought a flight board and some glasses for my son-in-law for Christmas. And I'll tell you why, because my daughter came for a visit in the summer, and she said, well, let's go to a brewery. And she came in here and bought me a flight, which I'd never heard of before, because I'm not really a beer drinker. And she couldn't stop talking about how great this beer was. She's a beer drinker in Ontario. She visits all the craft breweries all over Ontario. It's a big hobby for both of them. Which is, so it's kind of a big deal that he's getting a flight board for Christmas.
Yeah.
So you really have succeeded.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, tell us about the flight boards.
So yeah, I mean, flight boards, I mean, that's just basically like, that's kind of like a standard for craft breweries. It's it allows everybody to kind of have a taste of different stuff. So, you know, there's other bars that do like cocktail flights and stuff like that. They're like Telly's does like a mojito flight and stuff like that. So you can try different flavors. Most craft breweries like ourselves have multiple beers on tap. We at all times have 10 to 12 different offerings. You know, with the barrel-aged sours and like the wild fermented beers and, you know, the hazy IPAs and the stouts and the lagers and the pilsners and everything, right? So you could, there's so many different types of stuff that it's nice to be able to try a little taster of each one, which is basically called a flight board. So yeah, I mean, you can kind of come in, you can try four different beers, you kind of learn which ones you like, which ones you don't like. You know, typically, like, everybody likes all four of them. There's times where people are like, you know what, I really like this one, not so much on this one. But that really kind of helps people figure out. That's even what I do when I go to breweries, is I'll try a flight from other breweries just to try out their different beers, and then I'll decide what I like. And, you know, you can go all the way through it, or you can, you know, you pick, you say, hey, I really like number three or something like that, and then you get a pint of that, or you get a four pack to go. And it's just a really easy way to be able to do that, and it's kind of like a really neat, like, brewery culture of way of doing that. And you know, people will sit down and have a couple flights and share them together, and it starts a conversation, and that's kind of what we wanted to do here.
Well, I also like the education factor of that. You know, you're developing your taste. You're not just coming in and drinking a beer. Like, I you know, my mother would sit on the weekends and just have an export.
Yeah.
And it's a dull.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you have no idea. It's,
I mean, that was
beer.
The beer industry, right? That was a beer industry
that was
in North America,
industry.
Right? Like, it was like, you know, you had your, like, Molson Canadian, or you had your Budweiser, and then you had a light beer, like a Bud Light, and then, you know, and then you had the cheap one, like the old style Pilsner or something like that, right? And that was the spectrum of beer people knew. You know, we are in Smithers, you know, we do have, like, very, you know, we have, like, I feel like, a very cultured taste buds here, I think, for the majority of it. But the other side of that is we are a northern BC town. We're like, you know, we're a blue collar community that has been built on Budweiser and Molson Canadian, right? So when we made our last cast lager, we wanted to make as good of a lager as we possibly could to compete against that. And, you know, like, our goal, and I think any craft brewery's goal, is to just push people into this beer, right? And I mean, like, our last cast lager, we call it like the gateway beer, because that is, you know, your typical person that would come in and just have a Molson, or that would go to any bar or go to any store and buy like your sort of big brand beers. We get them onto a last cast lager. You know, craft beer isn't a trend where it's like, you know, craft beer, yeah, you know what, that was really good, and that was that was made like locally, and, you know, but I'm going to go back to that real garbage beer, you know what I mean? Like, it's not.
No, you can't go back.
No, you can't. So, I mean, that's where, you know, like, when people say craft beer is a trend or this or that, there's the change in people drinking less and stuff like that, which is a great thing, and seeing people drink like lighter beers and doing stuff like that. But, you know, drinking good quality local craft beer is not going away.
No. No, I like that you use the word local, because I have, like, stout for a long, long time. I visited Fort Louisbourg for my honeymoon, and they offered us a locally made stout, and I just fell in love with it. It's so much better when you're drinking something local. One of the things I love about my local breweries, and this one in particular, is that they offer regular events. So, for instance, you have a regular drop-in for people who like to play cribbage, and it's really popular. I was here for a bat trivia night. This place was packed.
Yeah.
It's popular.
Yeah.
When I say that, I'm hearing myself say it, and I'm thinking, okay, this sounds like a gimmick just to get people to drink more beer, but that's not what it is. You're putting a lot of time and effort into it just to get people to come in and drink beer.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that this place is, and like craft breweries in general, are sort of a community hub. And I think it's a place where people come and sit and have a beer and have a conversation and have a discussion and have some fun. And having those types of nights in our community is, like, brings people out, right? There's, you know, in the cold winter months when it's dark at 4:30, there's not a ton to do. There's sports, there's stuff like that. There's other things. This kind of allows people to come and have a social time and gives people a reason, right? Like in the spring and in the fall, we do an axe throwing league, but we do the actual league. So they come in every Wednesday for a month and they build up points until they do their championship, right? We can't take credit for all of this stuff because it's our local community that is very creative with that stuff. You know, it's an outside group that does the crib night that came to us with that. You know, it's an outside group that did the bat trivia night. You know, there's an axe throwing business in town that's come to us to do this sort of stuff.
But you have the space.
But we have the space.
And
we're welcoming, and we try to do this type of stuff, you know, whether that's a fundraiser or just a community night to bring people in. And I think it's really fun, and it's needed in our community to do this type of stuff.
Well, the Main Street just shuts down in the evenings.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah.
So if you come downtown, there's wind whistling.
Absolutely, right? And that was a big thing for us, right? We were talking about this the other day. You know, we're open almost every day of the year. We're closed Christmas Day, we're closed New Year's Day, we're closed the first week of January, and that's it. Unless we have some crazy thing going on, like, we're open the rest of the year. We're open 7 days a week, we're open on Sundays. Like, it's an important thing for us to be there, whether there's two people in here or not. Like, if we have specific hours and we say we're open till 10, if it's slow at 9 o'clock, we're not closing the doors. Because somebody in a whole group might come, and, you know, we wanted to be that place in Smithers where, you know, we were always kind of a shining light that somebody could come and have a beer and talk to somebody.
Well, you know, what that makes me think of is somebody driving down Highway 16 late in the evening, and they just need to stop for half an hour and get a coffee or maybe have a beer and just relax and check their messages, you
Absolutely.
Know? And if that happens at 9:15 and you happen to be the only place open, that's a great thing.
Absolutely.
You've done the community a service, having it open.
Yeah.
Cool.
For sure. And, you know, and then it kind of goes from that into, like, these fundraising nights and these fundraising programs that we do, right? We, you know, and we've been lucky enough that we make our own beer here. We make our own labels. We do all this stuff. So we've actually been able to, like, utilize that for different fundraising pieces, right? Like, we do this past year, we were approached by Mike the Vet at Babby.
You know, that I burst into tears when I found that story. Please tell that story.
Yeah, I mean, he came to us. He's a good friend of ours. He said, hey, I'd really like to do something for Northwest Animal Shelter. They do an amazing job. We've known that forever, and, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer to do something for that. So we made a beer called a Powderhound Vienna Lager.
Yeah, that
and,
was good.
You know, we gave a portion of sales, whether it was in package or in the tap room in pints, we gave a portion of sales to them, and we made a ton of money, you know, and then we created an entire event around it on a Saturday where people could come down and donate money and do all sorts of stuff. And, you know, Sarah Tomlinson from the animal shelter, I've known her for years, and, you know, she was, you know, I think she was kind of like, oh, I don't know, like, are we going to do this? And, you know, her and Tom Roper came in, and Tom Roper did a big interview with us and about all the stuff, and they were just like, they were just blown away what we were actually doing with them. And I mean that, but again, like, that comes from people like Mike and stuff that come to us about this stuff and us being very open to doing a lot of these things, right? You know, I've grown up here. I grew up here my entire life. I went to elementary school in Telqua. I went through high school here. So my family has had businesses here. Aiden grew up in Terrace and Smithers. You know, Sasha's had businesses here for a long time. Cam's newer to the community, but that brings this whole other world of all the other people that are newer to the community, right? So, you know, we understand what the community needs and is about, and we have this space, so let's use it to fundraise, let's use it to do unique things and help our community out. I mean, I don't know where we, like, you know, we, our accountants are like, why do you keep doing this? Yeah. Like, you know, look at the bottom. And it doesn't matter to us in a sense, right? Like, obviously, you know, we need to make sure everything's done. But in the end, like, we want to make sure that our community is looked after, right? We're very thankful for our community for supporting us, and we want to support them back. So,
well, that was really my introduction to Smithers Brewing Company. I'm not really a beer drinker. I keep saying this, and I've known it was here, but, you know, why would I come in? And then they had that event, and I'm one of the foster homes for the Northwest Animal Shelter. So I got an email saying, we're expecting all our volunteers to be there. People are going to want to meet you, right? And I'm like, oh, God, I don't really like crowds, and beer is okay. But so I came in unwillingly. The place was packed. I could hardly get in the door. And I squeezed my way into the back, and there was pictures of the animals who had been adopted up on the screen. And, of course, I recognized several of these animals, so I start getting a little weepy. And then I see Mike, and somebody said, Mike has done this thing with the beer. And I went over and threw my arms around him, and I said, thank you, that was very thoughtful. And he stopped me right there, and he said, no, I have to thank you, because before the shelter opened, I was putting down litters of kittens on a very regular basis, and you're doing me so many favors. So we were both standing there really weepy about the work that's happening and all the people around us supporting us.
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments where you're really glad to be alive. You're really glad to be in a community. And all of a sudden, I felt like I could come into this building on a regular basis. I'm really comfortable here suddenly.
Yeah, we want to make this place as inclusive as possible, right? Whether you're a beer drinker, whether you're a non-beer drinker, whether you like crowds, whether you don't like crowds, this is a place for our community to be supported, right? I mean, you look at that with the animal shelter. I mean, that's like, you know, that's important to us to have these people come in, to have everybody come in to see these animals, to see the volunteers. And that's why it was so important for you guys to come down and be part of that. And we try to do that with everything we do. We've had benefit beers. We've done all sorts of stuff to really try and support our community. And
yeah,
we have the space and the vessel of beer to be able to do that type of thing in a social environment, right? That gets people out and having a conversation and having some fun.
And it builds our community. It strengthens all of us to be able to do something like this. For instance, CICK, we've spent a couple of years trying really hard to build up our brand. And I mean, we're a community radio station, but not everybody knows about us even still. We can go into a space, and there's still lots of people who say, who? So to have you welcome us in, and, you know, we have an evening of music, an evening of trivia, and we have our own Bitter Bob's beer.
Yeah.
This is lovely that it showcases CICK and gives us a little bit more exposure.
Yeah. And community radio is a massive thing. I mean, that's another, like, there's pillars of the community, right? And I think our ex-mayor, Taylor Bagrack, talked about it back in the day. You know, he's like, you know, pillars of our community is, like, you know, a good coffee shop, unique entrepreneurial stores and restaurants, and a local craft brewery.
Yeah.
I mean, there's pillars of a community that you want to have. We wanted to be part of that. I mean, like, community radio is one of those things, and local music. I mean, community radio for us was a no-brainer to support and do stuff with. And everybody's fun and, you know, forward-thinking and wants to do as much fun stuff as they possibly can. We do a live radio show from here every Thursday night, so it's actually like we have the equipment and we remotely lock into CICK, and from 9 till 11 o'clock we have DJs performing live from the brewery, and they're doing shout outs from the brewery, and people can come down and talk on the microphone on live radio from here, and it's really, really neat, right? And it allows us, I mean, all of this, like, we're a business, right? So I mean, you talk about that, like, all of this, there's a piece of that that, like, all of this is built around our business, right? So
sure.
We can do shout outs. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie. Obviously, in the end of the day, we need to make sure that there's money in the bank account,
yeah.
right? And all of these things help to do that. But we are very happy to give back as much as we possibly can to the community. And, you know, by doing this and being able to stream live directly onto the radio station from here and be like, hey, come down if you like the music and come and have a beer with us and support CICK and the brewery and the DJs that are playing, right? Like, it's a really neat way to sort of support everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
absolutely
really neat. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very creative and generous way of building a different aspect of that business model.
Absolutely. You know? And, you know, when people ask us for sponsorships, we try to look at things a little bit differently, right? I come from the marketing world. So, you know, when SMBA came to us originally and said, hey, you can do this for, you know, you can do this for $500 or you can do this for $1,000 or, you know, we took that and we said, hey, you know what? Why don't we do a unique thing? We sat down and it took way more time than just writing a check and saying and going away. But, you know, we sat down over the course of the summer and created an entire plan, and we did custom 2-liter growlers that had SMBA's branding on it that we and our branding as a co-brand. We created an entire race series and then a party at the end of the year. And at the end, you know, instead of just signing over that check for $500, I think we handed them a check for almost $3,000, and it got our brand out to their community. It got their brand out through our community and through our social media channels and our marketing channels, and it was a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
And we look at that stuff and, you know, we want to support as much as we can. I keep using that word support, but it's like, because everybody does, because people support us back, and we want to look at unique ways rather than just signing off a check.
Yeah.
That's going to make more money for people. And that was a big thing with CICK. Is, you know, they're like, what level of sponsorship do you want to do? And it turned into like a 2-year thing with Pam and Glenn and myself sitting down being like, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and how about we start this night, and how about we do this, and can we do a live stream from here every week? And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, we've never done that before. And I'm like, I don't care. I want
to
do this.
To
like,
do it differently.
It doesn't matter. Let's figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
And we want to do like live on location every single week, and we want to own a radio show from here. And that was, you know, and those are big things for us, and we'll happily... And, you know, in the end, I would like to think that we're showcasing our partners and our community more that way, and hopefully making them more money and visibility.
Yeah.
In that.
Well, the other thing is, what you're reminding me of is something that happened 25 years ago. I was a recreational coordinator for the Kingston Rowing Club, and somebody threw out, you got to do a regatta, you got to invite everybody from Ontario to your regatta. And I thought, oh my God, that's going to be a lot of work. But you know, we had a dinner afterwards. Nobody's going to remember who won any of the regatta events, but they're going to remember the dinner.
Yeah.
They're going to remember that everybody from Peterborough and Ottawa and Toronto and North Bay, they all came, they all sat down together and had a dinner and got to know each other.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when you put these things together, they'll think about it for the next couple of years, but they will continue to think about it for the next 20. Remember that time we did that bat trivia night? Like, they'll remember that.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's
pretty neat.
It's totally neat.
Yeah.
What a great thing you're doing.
Yeah, creating memories and good times. Yeah,
that's very funny.
Yeah.
It means that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see. but a different picture, a different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
If top quality, locally sourced food is important to you, then Smithers is the place to be. In our town, there are many options for finding healthy, local food. Looking for a coffee shop? How about Bugwood Coffee, where friends gather for locally roasted coffee and baked goods at 1206 Main Street? Or Mountain Eagle Books, a used bookstore and cappuccino bar. Mountain Eagle on 3rd Avenue is a great place to lose yourself in a book and a coffee. Want to make it yourself? Visit Nature's Pantry on 1st Avenue, a health food store with an excellent selection of natural foods. And no town is complete without a farmer's market. The BV Farmer's Market offers fresh local produce and meats, craft beers and baked goods, artisan and craft wares, all made, baked, or grown locally. While the market is now closed for the winter, many of the vendors and farmers continue to offer products and services around town. Thank you to our sponsors, Bugwood Coffee, Mountain Eagle Books, Nature's Pantry, and the BV Farmer's Market. Food for body and soul, just like the cookie jar. You've got your hand in the cookie jar on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. I'm your host, Christine Bruce. Before the break, Blaine Espy introduced me to a little craft brewery in my town called the Smithers Brewing Company. The business was opened in 2018 by Aidan Bennett and Blaine Espy, with help from local business owners Sasha Hillebrand and Jeremy Roth. The head brewer there and a partner is Cam McKeegan. Up next, a beer isn't just a beer anymore. Blaine will immerse us just a little into what his craft brewery offers for the discerning palate, and then he's going to take me on a quick tour to the back where Aidan and Cam are making the magic happen.
I want to go back to this for a minute. Another example of your generous spirit is that you occasionally brew specialized beers, as we've been saying, and you send a percentage of that beer sales to the nonprofit. And I want to tell you that being a part of a couple of those nonprofits, we were very, very appreciative of that work. It makes a big difference. Like, we're still here because of things like that.
Well, no, and thank you, right? I mean, that's, that's what, you know, we want to support that.
So we've mentioned, too, the Bitter Bob and we've mentioned the Powder Hound. Are there others that you've created, designed? I guess there was one for SMBA.
Yeah, we've done the SMBA. We've done one for the late Paul Backhouse.
Oh, that, right.
And we worked with his friends and his family to actually create a whole piece. And we had a local artist that designed a label for it. And, you know, a portion of those sales went back to his family. And we actually, and that's actually a semi-regular beer now that we do every year. And it's it's a big piece with like the Backcountry Ski Society that has jumped on that. And it's created traction down in Whistler in the ski community. And, you know, we had people and his family from all over British Columbia that were reaching out to us saying, hey, can I get this? And one of his family members got married the year after, and they brought beer down for that, and you know, we were able to donate that sort of stuff. So yeah, we've done another memorial beer for the late Jody Bradley, which is a huge pillar of our community. He was our fabricator and good friend of ours. He did so much for us in here. So we did a Golden Arm Kolsch, and we invited his whole family in the fall in September, and they brought out Jody's huge big smoker barbecue that you tow with a trailer, and yeah, we had just a big celebration of Jody, and you know, and you know, Smoke on the Water that we do with Roy Vickers, our work, and oh, you know, great. We, you know, that was the first year that we did that. I mean, that's when we had a lot of wildfires up here. We had a big one in Telegraph Creek up Highway 37. We had the big ones in Southside. And the majority of people that were coming in here were just exhausted firefighters that were just like covered in ash from head to toe, and so you know, a portion of that went to support local communities that were hurt by the fires. So yeah, there's a ton of stuff we do that's, you know, it feels like almost every single beer that we do has like some background meaning and support level to it. So And it's people, you know, it's us that want to look at this stuff and try and figure out ways to work with different groups. And then it's other people coming to us and saying, hey, what do you think about this? And us going back and forth and making ways to do that, yeah. So
one of the things that I think is the most discouraging right now for me is that I see lots of people getting richer and richer and richer, and they're sort of distancing themselves from the average plebe, yeah. Small animal. You're not doing that.
No.
You know, you're still part of us. You're part of the gang. We're all in this together. It's like...
Well, I don't think anybody really, like, starts a craft brewery to become rich, right? Like, that's
no,
the thing.
No, but
and, you know, you're
no
always
sense
investing
your...
back, and you're always investing in
you
the
have
community.
To,
and you are. You're, and you have to do that in a town like this, right? So it's...
I don't want to dislike you because you've got money and I haven't.
Totally.
I never feel that way when I come here, you know? I mean, there's going to always be businesses like that where you think, no, I just... I don't get this. But...
Yeah.
I think that's why I feel so welcome here, because I feel like, you know, just one of the pack. We're all puppies running around the ground saying, woohoo!
Totally. You know, all of our staff, you'll see the uptown doing different stuff, working with different communities. You know, we just did an event for the snowmobile club. And yeah, you know, we always support the Pride Parade and Pride events. You know, we try to make sure, like, we're as inclusive as possible for everybody. And we try to do everything we can. We've done a large partnership with the Friendship Society.
Oh, very good.
And we work with, like, really closely with Annette Morgan and, you know, for National Truth and Reconciliation Day and other different parts. We always do a portion of our sales, and we always make sure there's a very big visual piece for our Indigenous community where we live and work and run our business on that territory, and we want to support that.
Yeah.
So we have a really good partnership with that. And
that in itself is a nice land acknowledgement.
Yeah.
We're on Wet'suwet'en territory. We need to keep the partnership strong.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Absolutely.
You know.
And that is a massive part of it. So, yeah.
Cool. And last night, the Bulkley Valley Tool Library Board of Directors, of which I'm a secretary, we happened to have our meeting here last night, and you came over, and we were talking about having an event in February together.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, we just look at those stuff, right? I mean, and I think that kind of came out as the Tool Library put out a Facebook post about celebrating an upcoming 1 year, and we look at that, and we're like, that's a really cool thing that's happening in our community. I didn't even know who was part of it, but I just sent a generic message through Facebook saying, hey, you guys are doing cool stuff. We'd love to do something with you.
Yeah.
And it just has turned into, you know, now we're going to be doing a really cool event in the year. And it's I don't know, they're just fun things, and everything's kind of for a good purpose in the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It helps us be creative. It helps us continue to be new and fresh and unique. And, you know, hopefully that helps community groups that are also trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And it gives people a place.
Well, and it can be such a slog trying to keep
yeah.
your head above water, you know. It can be so much work.
Totally.
So to have somebody else come along and say, hey, let's do something together.
Totally.
Suddenly it's not such a slog.
Well, like the volunteer world is such a crazy thing, right?
Oh,
I mean, it's just like, you know, whether, you know, when you're on boards and when you're volunteering for different stuff, like, it's like how many countless hours do you spend, an unthankful hours, do you spend to make,
right?
And
so
you're
you
like,
get
I'm
pretty banged
up
over
my,
that.
I'm
yeah.
giving up my free time, right? We all get it. We're all part of boards. We're all part of that stuff. We all give up our free time for different things that we're passionate about, right? So we want to be able to make sure that we can just let everybody have a beer. Pat each other on the back and say, hey, you know what,
yeah.
we're doing a good thing. So.
And you know, the fun part was, here I was for the board, you came over and I'd never met you in person. It was great to be able to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
We had our volunteers, we celebrated them last night, they came and had a beer. And you know what, I don't get a chance to talk to our volunteers very often, so it was really nice to get to know a couple of the guys who staff our library for every week.
Yeah.
And then there was a group over by the window, and they were having a beer, and one of them came over, and it was the person that I worked with on the BC Bats. for 2 years.
Yeah.
And she's moved out into Calgary now. And I never, you know, suddenly we're sitting down and having put our heads together. It was one of those nights where I didn't stop talking. I was so tired by the time I got home because I was just talking to so many people that I never get to sit down with.
Yeah.
So what a great opportunity.
That's it.
You know?
That's what the brewery's all about, right? You don't see TVs in here for a reason, right?
Like, thank you. I thank you for that 100 times
over. That's it, right? I mean, those are all conversations you have when you open. You're like, do you have TVs? Do you not have TVs? Are we going to push people away? Are we going to, you know, and like, you know, we would have people come in and be like, where's your TVs? I want to watch the hockey game. And I'm like, the moment a TV's in here, your eyes end up going there.
Yeah.
And instead of talking to the person beside you or the person you've never met beside you or the table next to you. And that's how... that's how conversations start. That's,
yeah.
You know, the crib nights, you know, you sit down and you play a game of crib against someone you've never met before and you have that conversation. We have crib boards that you can take. We have crokinole boards you can borrow. Like, you know, and just that's the whole culture of what we're trying to do. And I think that's what the whole culture of what every brewery's trying to do.
Isn't that something that we've lost as a society, though?
Because yeah.
My grandparents used to get together once a week with their neighbors and they'd play bridge.
Totally.
We don't do that anymore. Nobody
does
that
anymore. Come down and let's start a bridge night at the brewery.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I think society had so much more of a tensile strength to it.
Yeah.
People volunteered all the time. Now it's hard to get volunteers. People used to get together. Now we're suspicious of our neighbors. You know, there's something broken there that I love that we're trying to repair that. But we're not doing it because it's not there anymore. We're just doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, totally.
So wonderful.
Yeah, nice.
All right, we've been talking about CAM a couple of times. Do you think we could have a quick tour of the back so I could see what's going on back there?
Absolutely. I think we're brewing your favorite beer, Tree's Knees. Yeah.
And he had some really great information on what's in that. I think, I mean, I'm certainly guilty of this, where somebody puts something dark in front of me and I'm like, ooh, dark beer. Is this a stout or a porter? And I really don't think about it very hard. But when Cam was telling me what was in this, suddenly it's like a whole world has opened up to me. And I'm more aware of what I'm putting in my mouth and how valuable it is.
Yeah.
And how much more I'm going to delight in this every time I have a glass of it now. Because...
yeah.
It's not just a stout anymore. It's local ingredients,
and
I should be paying more attention. I think that's part of the thing that maybe we should be educating intentionally about is, you know, pay it more attention to what's in this thing. Watch it as it's being poured and how it settles into the glass and think about what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked for quite a while, but we haven't really talked a lot about the beer side of things, right?
Let's do that before we go to the back.
That's obviously like a really big thing for us. And I mean, we try to use local ingredients wherever we can. We try to do unique things like this, like the Tree's Knees, like you're talking about. I mean, the Tree's Knees. So we kind of came up with two different beers, and they're both Belgian beers. So, you know, one's a Belgian Golden Strong called Bee's Knees.
Yes.
And that is, that's used local honey. From Buckley Valley Hive and Honey. The Tree's Knees that we're talking about, it's in the same family, Bee's Knees and Tree's Knees, and that's a Belgian dark strong, and that actually uses local birch syrup. And that's from a guy named Jim Fowler in his business, Kispiox Creations, out in the Kispiox Valley. So with Buckley Valley Hive and Honey, we actually need so much honey from them that we have our own hives.
That they
manage for us, and then they extract the honey for us. For all of our beers. So we do like the Sunset Summer Ale in the summer with their honey. We do a bunch of different pilot batches with honey. We do, you know, the Bee's Knees, obviously. And then in return, we give them beer and different ingredients so they can make the soap, like all of our beer soap. So they have a beer soap with each of our four core beers, and they use our beer and our spent grain. We have a really good partnership. We have like Christmas baskets right now that we're doing together with them, and we've paired our beer with their honey and soap, so people can kind of have a whole thing like that. So, you know, we want to work with our local suppliers. You know, we work with Living Roots Organic Farm and for our Haskaps. I mean, we just did a beer called Purple Haze. It's a milkshake IPA. And I think we put 400 pounds of Haskaps into 1,000 liters of beer. And we do that with about three or four different beers. And we try to use local Haskaps in it. We have a Birchwater Pilsner that we do in the spring that I don't know if anybody else in the world is actually using birch water in there. So birch water basically comes out of birch trees at a very specific time of year, and usually around April up here, where there's the melt and there's a ton of groundwater. So there's a ton of water coming up through the trees. So before it starts to dry up and create birch sap and birch syrup, it flows right out like water.
Oh, wow.
So we actually go out into the Kispiaugs Valley and work with some guys out there, and we collect up to 2,000 liters of birch water over the course of a week. And you have to do it in a very specific amount of time, and you got to tap about 100, 200 different trees. And we work with a whole bunch of local people out there and do that. And, you know, then we, you know, repair up the trees and leave them for next year, and then we tap them again. And we're able to collect that birch water, and that's what we use. So we don't actually use any water in that beer. We use 100% of that as birch water, and it's called Son of a Birch.
I love the name already.
Yeah, so it's like it's, you know, and you know, so it's a really unique beer. I mean, the smoke on the water is a smoked amber ale that we started with Roy Henry Vickers, and we didn't want to just order a smoked malt. So every year it's different because we work with him and a couple other indigenous partners out there, and we smoke the grain in a traditional smokehouse on the banks of the Skeena River out there. And we use a different, you know, we'll use cottonwood one year and we'll use a birch a different year. So that there's a different level of smoke and a different taste to that beer every single year. And it's because we like, there's a different amount of time in there and a different smoke and a different wood that they use. Yeah, so it's a really, really neat thing that we can do all these different things with it. So, yeah.
It's not just beer anymore.
It's not just beer, no. No, it's a whole different, it's a whole world that we're trying to create, and you got to have fun doing it too.
Yeah, but you're also making me really proud of where I live.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we're being fed from the land, and that's...
We're very proud of where we live too, right? I mean, we always said it, like, in, you know, in the depths of COVID, we're like, you know, Smithers would be this community and this region would be like the last region alive if, like, we got shut off from the world, because we can kind of sustain ourselves up here. We got a lot of really unique people and entrepreneurial people, and we could live off the land out here.
And, you know, as much as sometimes we are on polar opposites for opinions, if there's something happening, the community has a habit of coming together. We set all that aside. Everybody's going to get through this together.
Totally.
There's something wonderful about that. You know, that you can meet the farmers.
Yeah.
You can go to the farmer's market and you can talk to them about what they've got, and maybe they'll give you something special for what you're looking for. There are lots of berries that you just go and forage on your own, and you share them with other people, and you can feed yourself up here. When 100%. We had COVID and there was distribution problems, I remember thinking, oh, well, my freezer's full. I guess I'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, it's pretty neat up here, right? It's we get eggs dropped off from a local person. We split a pig every few months with a couple different families. We split a quarter of beef. We hunt. We go out and we have a freezer full of fish from the ocean. Another lady that works here has a farm, and she drops off garden boxes for us every week. I'm like, what are we actually buying from the store?
Do we ever go into Safeway?
It's great.
You know? Yeah.
You know, you'll get your essentials and stuff like that. But in the end, the majority of our stuff is all just from the community.
And there are so many products that we've been talking about as well. You can buy honey here, local honey.
Yeah.
I don't buy maple syrup anymore. I buy birch syrup because that's what I have. It's lovely.
Yeah.
You know, you can feed yourself up here if you get connected with the community.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very
cool. And hopefully people can connect here at the brewery.
Yeah.
Because there's people from all walks of life and all different political values and all different worlds that all join here. And you'll see people sit down that are very polar opposites and sit down and have a beer about it. And that's kind of what we're all about. So, anyway.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
But let's go check out the back.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hiya. Really nice to see you.
Dave. And Dave. There's
What is that? What am I looking at there?
That's the
spent grain.
That's the spent grain. And that all goes back to a local farmer to feed the cows.
Good use of spent grain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, chickens, pigs.
Yeah, they'll eat a lot of different things, right?
Oh, yeah, and that stuff comes steaming out, and our farmer says he drives down the road and he's got a stampede of cows coming after him.
But I'm guessing that's pretty nourishing.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
You've
got all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah.
An animal would love to have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this is your tree's knees.
Ooh! Tell me about the tree's knees. Tell me again what's in it and why other people should be drinking this stuff. I can't understand anybody not drinking because it's so good for you.
Yeah, well, this is a Belgian Dark Strong.
Belgian Dark Strong,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it is a dark beer. It's got local birch syrup in it from the Kuskokwim Valley. There you go. It's getting labeled right over there.
Oh, it smells good in here.
Hold up.
Come on, come on. There, eat your heart out. The cows are getting this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're going to be happy tonight.
This is very physical work, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Making beer.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, like a lot of people like look at it and, like, you know, they walk in the front door and they have no concept that cans here. It's 3 a.m. sometimes brewing beer. I mean, he's already done a double batch by noon today. So, you know. We're packaging, we're delivering, we're doing all this stuff every day, right? The majority of people just see the taproom sort of thing, but this is a full-on entity back here that's going, you know, 20 hours a day at the end of it. So.
Well, it's like people who walk into the Safeway and they see chicken in package and they don't realize that was a live animal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into bringing beer.
Yeah, totally.
Bring in good beer, though.
Yeah, this is our canner, so this is, again, it's a Calgary-based company. You know, 20 years ago, something like this would fill this entire room, but technology now, we can run 20 to 25 cans a minute through this little tiny unit. It's all somewhat automated, so it takes two people from one end all the way to the other. It's hooked up to these tanks and through our labeler and shot out, and, you know, we're able to do a pretty good little bit of production here. So I think we've hit about 1.4 million cans since we started. So,
and I'm not seeing a backlog anywhere, so that stuff must be selling well.
Yeah, it's going, yeah. Yeah, we run all our distribution ourselves from basically the Okanagan out to Haida Gwaii and up.
I saw some on Haida Gwaii when I was here this summer.
Yeah.
I'm like, woohoo, local beer.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, you know, we don't go into Vancouver like the Lower Mainland market. It's just like we don't have enough beer. So it's pretty neat.
That's really cool. Yeah. I'm really proud of this. I'm really proud to be part of this community.
Yeah, right on.
I'm really proud that this is in my community.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
A big shot of cam.
Yeah. Totally.
Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Black Lager. My dad's name is Boyd Espy, so he's a retired plumbing contractor, and he did a lot of stuff for us. And
so you named it for your dad.
Yeah, we couldn't pay it. We couldn't pay him, so we figured we put his face and his name on the beer. These are our four beers that we do with Roy Vickers.
Oh.
So we sat down with him. He's a good friend of ours, and so he actually did custom artwork for us. So this is all. Based around northern British Columbia and northwest BC.
Yeah, I recognize Smoke on the Water.
Yeah.
But I don't.
So that's our Sunset Summer Ale. So that's actually that's like, great. You could, if you're driving out to Prince Rupert, there's a point on the Skeena that you can look out, and that's the exact hillsides.
Oh, wow.
And if you'd ever drive out there right at sunset, that's what it is. So it's a Sunset Summer Ale. That's Stegioden, Rocher de Bull in Hazleton, and
yeah.
that's the actual Hazleton paddle wheeler that's in the village of Hazleton, right down on the Skeena there. Yeah. And Cloud Waters is that was the name of the rain on the Skeena River. So we did we tried to do like a really light beer for the spring to sort of represent the rain.
Thank you for not trying to reinvent a wheel that's already here.
No, there's no point. You know,
I don't think so either. I don't understand why we
there's
can't
so
just take
much
what
we've
got
here. Yeah, we gotta have one, yeah.
Lots of scope for imagination up here. You don't have to be creative. You just have to be aware.
Yeah, exactly. And open to you know, to look at things and, you know, to look at things a little tiny bit differently. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Really great.
Thank you.
To speak with you today, Blaine.
Yeah, it was neat. It was fun.
I'm the king of the forest, I'll speak for the trees. No gods and no masters, just birds and bees. Come on over, see what I see. Come on over, see what I see. I see mass destruction on a global scale. Fracking into the land, pulling gas from the shale. Swimming in a river full of poison. Swimming in a river full of poison. Say I told you, but I told you and I showed you. Now the weak can set fire to the water supply. We ask tough questions while your tongue gets tired. I'm dreaming of a world equal on all sides. I know light will shine through where the darkness divides. Come on over, see what I see. Come on down and see what I mean. I mean. Down into the tar sands. It's time to recognize the treaties made on these lands. It's time to stop mining down the wishing well, cause it seems to me the devil's in the diving bell. Was your sacrifice, was your pain? Just because there's expansion doesn't mean that there's gain. Just because there's new leaders doesn't mean there'll be change. Just cause we're out of touch don't mean we're out of range.
Boys and girls, won't you tell them why that's sick?
That's it for the cookie jar this week, and it may be our last visit for a while. My guest today was Blaine Espy of the Smithers Brewing Company in lovely Smithers, BC. I also want to give a shout out to Aidan Bennett and Cam McKeegan, and to Glenn Ingram and Mark Fisher, who launched craft breweries in Northern BC a few years back, pioneering the way for the current Northern breweries and ensuring their success. The Cookie Jar is produced by Christine Bruce, with music by Elijah Larson, aired through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, available anytime at smithersradio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening. For more on the Smithers Brewing Company, visit smithersbrewing.com. They have an online store, but if you happen to be in Smithers, you can mosey on up to the bar at 3832 3rd Avenue. They're also on Facebook and Instagram at Smithers Brewing. And finally, if you want to support a local nonprofit event, fundraiser, organization, or charity, you can swing by their brewery anytime, because Blaine, Cam, and Aidan will want to hear about it. I do love my town.